course, our theme for 2024 here at Salem First Baptist is it's a whole new ball game. And there's four focuses that we're going to look at all through the year. Of course, salvation, membership, service, and then heaven. And so this morning, our message is going to be about spiritual growth. And you might say, well, hold on, you just said we had four focuses, and that's not one of them. But, you know, the analogy that we're using is a baseball field. And last week, talking about salvation, that's first base. If you and I, if we do not understand biblical salvation, then membership doesn't matter. Service doesn't matter. And heaven, we won't get to it. But the question is, once you and I become saved, for some of you, maybe you've been saved for years, maybe you've been born again, we use different terms, but the Bible calls it a new creation. When you believe in Jesus, when you become His, you are a new creation. You are His. But sometimes we stay on that first base. We stay, well, hey, I'm saved. I come to church, I'm good. And that's where spiritual growth comes in play. Because without spiritual growth, we will stay on first base forever. We'll never move. And the Lord does not want us to stay in the same place in our Christian life. He wants us to grow. He wants us to keep going moment by moment, day by day. And the only way we can do that, church, is if we're growing in His Word and if we're growing in our relationship with Him. So that in mind, would you turn with me to Hebrews chapter 12 this morning? Hebrews chapter 12 in the New Testament. And this morning, we will look at just two verses. And the author, which we don't know who the author of Hebrews is for sure. Some people say Paul. Other people have different guesses. But the author of Hebrews here is comparing the Christian life to a race. And it's very important to understand the Christian life is not a sprint. It's a marathon. Just like life, we're going to have ups and downs in our walk with the Lord. There's going to be times in our walk with the Lord where we are going to feel His presence and we're going to feel close to Him. And maybe this morning that's where you are. Maybe if I would ask you, hey, how's things with Jesus? Do you feel close to the Lord? Maybe this morning you'd say, I do. I'm in a good place. I'm praying. I'm walking with Him. I feel the presence of Jesus right now. But maybe this morning, if you're honest, that's not the case. Maybe this isn't the closest you've been with the Lord. Maybe this is a rough season. And no matter where you are, remember, church, you're in a marathon. Now, I don't know how many years God's going to give me. I don't know how many years God is going to give you. But as long as we are planted on this earth, man, it matters what we do with the time that we have. So this morning, we are going to look at seven things we need to remember to grow in our faith. I said seven, so we better get rolling. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. If you have that, will you stand in honor of reading God's Word? Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us. And let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Bow with me. Dear Lord, thank You for this word. Father, Lord, this morning I pray that we can understand the importance of spiritual growth. Lord, You want us to grow in our walk with You. Father, help us understand how. We ask this in Your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen. The first thing we see this morning is we are called to remember that we are not alone. So here in verse 1, the author is saying, as you're going on this race, as you are running this race of faith, which is a really good analogy. And the reason the author uses this analogy is because we can understand it. This is an easy analogy for you and I to grasp. But yet, as we go through this race, we are not alone. The author here in verse 1 says that there are clouds of witnesses watching us from heaven. One of the biggest tricks that Satan will use to get us away from our closeness to the Lord is Satan will tell us that we're alone. Have you ever felt alone on your walk with the Lord? Maybe you're living for Him. Maybe you're trying to be who you need to be, and yet you feel like it's you versus the world. You look out, you listen to the news, you just look around and you say, you know what? No one else is trying to live for Jesus like I am. And it's really easy, if we're honest, to feel isolated. Even in a church surrounded by people, we come in and sometimes Satan wants to whisper, man, no one knows what you're going through. No one can comprehend what you're going through. You are alone. Church, can I tell you this morning that you're not alone? Maybe your struggles are different than your neighbor's, but I promise you, we all have heartache. We all have pain and struggles, trials and tribulations that we're going through. And Jesus wants us to come together as Satan wants us to come apart. Man, we have to remember that the church body is a family. And I don't know about your family, but my family got some junk. My family, we can fight, we can bicker, we can cause some issues. And guess what? The same thing can happen in the church house. That's why we hear gossip around town. That's why we hear people whispering. Do you know why? Because we're human. And if we're not careful, we will fall in the trap of Satan. And instead of coming together, we will separate. Here we have to remember, as we are on this race, man, do you know that we're not alone? From the beginning of the Bible, we see God with His people. As we are going on this journey in 2024, we have every believer in the history of the Bible watching us and supporting us. And you might say, what do you mean, Brother Tyler? Well, in Hebrews chapter 11, we call that the Hall of Faith. The author goes through the entire chapter looking at different Old Testament Bible heroes who lived out their faith. And here, when it says cloud of witnesses, it gives us the illustration that those heroes of the faith, people like Abraham, people like David, who allowed God to work through them, man, we are living out on the backs of what they did. And do you know one day what you and I do for the kingdom? As if the Lord tarries in 50 years, in 100 years, guess what? What we do today in this community, in this area, your grandchildren could go and could continue the work that you've done today. Nothing's wasted, church. It matters. As we go about moment by moment, we have to remember that we are not alone. The second thing we see here is we have to remember to lay aside the distractions. And so the author here is telling us, as you run, you do not want to be ensnared. You do not want to have any weight on you. So cast aside the weight. Cast aside anything and everything that is weighing you down. And then he gets from preaching to meddling. He says, hey, all that sin, all that junk in your closet, let's get it out of the way. Now, I don't know about you. I mean, you can probably look at me and tell that I'm not a big-time runner. I like to walk, but I don't like to run. But here's something that I know. I probably shouldn't go to the Mexican restaurant before I run a race. Maybe after the race, but not before. Because if I eat a whole lot before I run, it's not going to be good. So what we have to understand, the same thing spiritually is true. When we spend all of our time not in the Word of God, not in the fellowship of the Lord, and when we collect junk, when we spiritually are eating junk food and not the Word of God, then why are we surprised when we can't run the race? When our mind is so full of the distractions of this world, when we're so caught up in the news, when we're so caught up in all this stuff going on, and when we make no time for the Word of God, why are we surprised when we don't share our faith? Why are we surprised when we don't have the hymns of the faith in our minds when all we listen to is worldly things? See, the truth is, church, it is so easy to get weighed down with this world. It's so easy to get all the junk on us that we can't show Christ to a lost and dying world. So what do we have to do? We have to lay aside the distractions. Now, the distractions that I struggle with might be different than yours. I don't know your junk, but I know my junk. Now, thankfully, I don't have to tell you my junk. I don't have to stand up here and confess my sins. But here's what I know. Just like I struggle, you struggle. So whatever those distractions are, whatever that sin that ensnares you, don't become a prisoner. Jesus died, saved you from that junk. And if you and I allow that to consume us, it's not because Jesus did not save us from it. It's because we went back to the junk and we picked it back up. It's kind of like if you went through a mud storm. I don't know what a mud storm is, but if you went through a mud storm and if you're covered in mud and you go inside and you take a shower and you get clean, would you go back to that muddy shirt and put it back on? No. But spiritually speaking, we do the same thing. We go back to our sin and we put it back on. Here, we're being told, lay it aside, cast it off, and keep going. The third thing we see this morning, remember to run with endurance. Now that word endurance, it means to keep going even when something is difficult. Now I don't know about you, but every time that I try to get healthy in life, there's a problem. It's called life. I don't want to eat right. I don't want to get up and work out. I don't want to do what I need to do. Instead, it's easier to do what I want to do. The problem is when we do not live with endurance, we will not do what we are supposed to. Same way in our spiritual life. We are not going to wake up and automatically be in the Word. We're not going to wake up and automatically be in prayer with God. We're not going to wake up and automatically be in fellowship with other brothers and sisters like we're supposed to. What do we have to do those things? We have to make it a priority. And when the world comes and when distractions come up, when all these things happen, we have to endure and we have to have endurance to do what we need to do. The more that I walk with the Lord, the more I realize one thing. Without endurance, there is no growth. If we do not make the Lord a priority in our life, if we do not say, you know what, I want more Jesus and less TV. I want more of this than that. If I want more of a closeness with the Father, if we do not make that a priority, then guess what will happen? There'll be no growth. We have to endure. And we have to keep going. Just like when a runner is in that marathon. Just like when their bones begin to ache and when they become tired and when there's that voice in their mind saying, just quit. You don't have to do this. Endurance is being able to keep going. Church, spiritually, we have to keep going. Because I promise you, there are moments where we want to quit. There's moments where we just want to stop. But what we have to understand is as we run this race of faith, we have to endure and we can't stop. Why are the churches struggling in America? You look at the number of Christian growth. Do you know that there are three continents where Christianity is growing? North America is not one of them. Actually, in North America, more specifically in the United States, the number of professing Christians is getting lower and lower every year. And you might say, well, it's because of this or it's because of that. A big part is because Christians, they don't have endurance. And when we do not keep going in our faith, then the kingdom of God will not grow. The fourth thing we see this morning is remember to keep your focus on Jesus. Here we are told to look onto Jesus. Fix your eyes in some translations. So here we were told earlier to cast aside the distractions. Well, now in verse 2, the author is saying, once you cast aside the junk, you have to look at something good. So instead of focusing on the world, you and I, we have to look upon the Savior. Now, we come to church and we sing about Jesus and we read about Jesus, and sometimes we hear about Jesus so much that we think, well, I'm looking at Jesus. But here, what the author is trying to get across is by looking upon Jesus, this is us building our life upon Him. Not just being saved, church, but every day saying, Lord, You're my foundation. Father, You are the reason why I'm going today. Lord, my focus, my priority is You. That's what the author here is trying to get across. You and I, we have to fix our eyes, our soul, our minds, our hearts upon Jesus. But if we don't know Jesus, if we're not studying about Jesus in the Word of God, if we're not communicating with Jesus, then how can we fix our eyes upon a man we barely know? See, the Lord wants to have an intimate relationship with us. He wants to be close to us. But the only way that can happen is if we make Him the focal point of our life. We have to focus on Him and not everything else. The fifth thing we see this morning is we have to remember who Jesus is. Now, there's a lot of different names that we see Jesus called in the New Testament. We see Him called the Messiah, Emmanuel, the Good Shepherd, the Prince of Peace, the Alpha and the Omega, the Wonderful Counselor. But here in verse 2, we see a wonderful description of Jesus. He is the author and finisher of our faith. Now, I want to look at that for a moment, because an author is someone who creates something, someone who writes something. Without the author, there is no book. And what we see here is without Jesus, there is no faith. If you take away Jesus, you take away salvation. This morning, we saw John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. If Jesus is not the Savior, there is no salvation. Everything is gone. So what we have to understand is if we are praising God for what He did in our lives, if we're saying, Lord, You saved me. Father, You freed me from all these shackles. It's because He's the author of that faith. And not only is He the author, church, but He's also the finisher. See, Jesus did not just come to this earth. Jesus went through the cross. He went through the burial. He went through the resurrection. He ascended into heaven. And so not only do we need to understand who Jesus is, but we have to understand what He did. He put a finish mark. He put a period on death. And you might say, well, hold on, Tyler. Death is happening every single day. We're talking about spiritual death. Without Jesus, there is no heaven. There is no eternity with Him. There is no paradise. See, because of Jesus, because of what He did, you and I, we can have that paradise with Him. That freedom. I don't know about you, but the more I study God's Word, man, when I was young, I wanted to go to heaven because it was a fun place. I mean, mansions, clouds, why not? But the more I study about heaven, the more I understand it. Listen, heaven is a place of no suffering. Heaven is a place of pure joy. And most of all, church, heaven is a place where you will experience your Lord more than ever before. On this earth, we get glimpses. We have moments. But in heaven, we have eternity. We have to remember we have that because we have an author and we have a finisher. Who is Jesus? He's our Savior. Why do we praise Him? Why do we come to this place? Because we know that without Jesus, we're nothing. See, it's real easy for me to praise Jesus because I know what Jesus saved me from. I know the shackles that He took off me. I know the purpose and the life that He gave me. But listen, church, He did the same thing for you. Jesus went into your soul and He made you a new creation. He doesn't want you to go through this life simply surviving. I hear that all the time. Man, I'm just surviving. I'm just making it. And I understand sometimes there's days where we just have to get through it. But guess what? Jesus does not want us to survive. He wants us to thrive. Jesus wants us to look forward to the day, to enjoy life, and to be able to get the most out of life. But we have to do that by remembering who Jesus is. Jesus came to this earth. He taught with a purpose. And if we study the Word of God, then we can understand the foundation that Jesus gave us. The sixth thing that we see this morning is we have to remember the cross. See, the author here, he goes into why Jesus came. Yes, Jesus came to teach. Yes, Jesus came to do miracles. Yes, Jesus came to bring peace to a broken world. But more than anything, we see here that Jesus came who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross. Now, that word joy is associated with the cross. Now, I don't want to go down a rabbit hole this morning, but we need to understand what Jesus went through on the cross. The cross was the worst possible death that the Roman Empire could come up with. Before they even went to the cross, they would beat them. They would literally have them to the point where they were a bloody mess, barely even alive. And then they would strip them naked, nail them to a cross, and let them stay on that cross for days until they painfully and slowly died. And that's how our Savior died on this earth. Jesus Christ came knowing that one day He would go on that cross. And yet the Bible here says that there was joy in that. And you might say, well, hold on, how is there joy? Because once again, if there was no cross, there is no salvation. Jesus came to this earth because the Father said, you need to go to be an atoning sacrifice for my children. And because of the love that Jesus had for you and I, Jesus held nothing back, not even His own life. And when Jesus was upon that cross, and the symbol of the cross, that's the foundation of our Christian faith, and He died on that cross, not because He was weak, not because He was a horrible person, not because He deserved it, but because through His death, through His blood, you and I can have a life. And you might say, well, hold on, I have a life. But do you have a life worth what Jesus died for? Jesus does not want you and I just to live. He wants us to have life more abundantly. And what we see on the cross is Jesus saying, you're enough, you're worth it, I love you, and I want you to experience what life can be. And so often, we look at the cross and we want to forget about the blood. We want to forget about the nails. We want to forget about what He went through. But what we are doing is we are minimizing what Jesus did for us. Church, He loved you enough. Jesus Christ loved you enough to die for you. Jesus loved you enough that He took on the shame of the cross, being naked, being beaten, going through everything He went through, having people spit upon His face because He knew that it was the only way you and I could have salvation. If I ask you this morning if you would lay down your life for your child, I believe most of you without hesitation would say yes. Why? because you believe that the life of your child is more important than your own life. That's the love that Jesus has for you and I. He loves us so much that he held nothing back. Yes, Jesus overcame death 3 days. Yes, he was resurrected, but that does not take away the cross. As we are struggling in our Christian faith, as we are running this race, we have to remember that Jesus overcame. The final thing we see this morning in verse 2 is we have to remember where Jesus is currently. Jesus is not still on that cross. Jesus is not in that grave. Jesus is not even upon this earth. Jesus is at the right hand of the Father at the throne of God. And you might say, well, Tyler, why is that such a big deal? It matters because Jesus is glorified. See, one day we will not be on this earth anymore. One day we will not be in this earthly body anymore. One day we also will be in heaven with God the Father. Jesus endured. Jesus went through everything on this earth because he knew that it was the will of God. We are going to go through struggles. We are going to go through difficulties in this life. The church, when we endure, when we keep going, when we are focused on Jesus, a lost and dying world, a community around us can see, you know what? Man, Jesus is real to them. Their relationship with Jesus is important. It matters. It's not just lip service. It's not just something they do on a Sunday morning. It is their life. People will not change everything they believe simply because you and I come to church on Sunday. But when they begin to see Jesus in our lives, when they see that our talk is different, our walk is different, our actions are different, when they see that we are genuine and that we are a new creation and that we're growing, listen, we're not perfect. But man, when they can see real growth, when they can see that we are seeking to be better and we are seeking to do things differently, that is when people will listen to the gospel. But when we're living in sin, they won't listen. Why would they? They need to see spiritual growth in our lives. So church, this morning, here's a question. And no one can answer this question except you. Are you growing? In your life, where you are right now, is there spiritual growth taking place? Are you the same that you were 6 months ago? A year ago? If I were to ask you, are you closer or further away from the Lord? Which, by the way, you can't be the same. We're always growing or decreasing. But where are you? And what do you and I need to do to grow closer to him? Church, I know one day there'll be a date on a tombstone. The first date is 1991 when I was born. But that second date will be when my earthly body is no more. Do you know that we're all going to face that second date one day? But see, I don't get caught up in the dates. What I get caught up in is the dash. Because the dash between those two dates, that's the legacy that we'll leave behind. I think about that legacy. I think about the legacy I'll leave behind to my wife, my son, my family, the church, the community. What legacy will you leave behind? Are you growing? Maybe this morning the answer is no. Here's the beautiful part of this. Today is a wonderful day to start. This morning, as our praise team is preparing to come, I would ask you to be honest, just between you and God. Where are you, and where does He want you to go? Bow with me. Dear Lord, thank You for this morning. Father, Lord, thank You for Your word. Lord, thank You that we can remember how to grow in our faith. Lord, this morning, if we are saved, Lord, Father, that is amazing and it's beautiful. Lord, it's life-changing. But Father, You do not want us to stay where we are. Lord, You want us to continue to spiritually grow. Father, You want us to experience that growth. Lord, You want us to run this race focused on You. But Lord, to do that, we have to cast off the distractions. Lord, we have to get all the junk out of the closet. Lord, we have to focus on You and only You. Lord, we have to remember why You are the author and finisher of our faith. Lord, let this time be all about You, Lord. Lord, we ask this in Your name, the precious name of Jesus. Amen.